This is The Morning Show. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson in for Kate Archer Kent. A Milwaukee Circuit Court judge ruled late last month that former Wauwatosa police officer Joseph Mensa can be prosecuted for fatally shooting 25-year-old Jay Anderson Jr. as he sat in his car in 2016. Anderson was the second of three people Mensa killed while with the Wauwatosa police. Following Anderson's death, prosecutors declined to file charges. Here's Anderson family attorney Kimberly Motley speaking to WPR.
Had the Jay Anderson shooting had been properly investigated, then it's highly likely that Alvin Cole would still be here today. And that is something that can never be made right, ever.
Judge Glenn Yamahiro said there is probable cause that Mensa committed homicide and recommended that the case get a second look under John Doe laws. And we want to hear from you. Have you been following the Mensa case? Do you work in law enforcement? Does this judge's decision affect your department? What do you think? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Sami Namula is an anthropologist and associate professor at Emory University. She is a member of the Milwaukee National Lawyers Guild, which is closely following this case. Samina, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me this morning.
And attorney Art Heitzer is also with the Milwaukee National Lawyers Guild. Art, welcome to you as well.
Thank you much, JC. Good morning.
So, Art, take us back to 2016 when then Wauwatosa police officer Joseph Mensa encountered and later shot and killed Jay Anderson Jr. What do we know happened that night?
Well, we know that Jay Anderson was asleep, apparently inebriated, in his car in a park, Madison Park in Wauwatosa, and about 3 a.m., Officer Mensa came into the park, identified the vehicle, and within 5.5 minutes, I hate to be gross about it, but essentially executed Mr. Anderson, shot him 4 times. According to the medical examiner's report, it was a homicide. And from one side of the head to the other, ear to ear, temple to temple, two bullets clearly killed him on the spot. And then, according to Wisconsin law, any investigation is supposed to be done by an outside police agency, in this case, City of Milwaukee Police did it because Wauwatosa Police is where Mensa was working. And both Professor Mola and I attended online or otherwise, I think it was 4 hearings, detailed testimony with expert witnesses with 122 years combined experience testified that Mensa violated many rules, really induced a sense of jeopardy, and really killed Jay Anderson without a reasonable basis to do so, I guess is one way to put it. And so the judge reviewed that evidence in detail in his decision on July 28th, I believe it was, and said that there was probable cause to believe that he recklessly used a fatal weapon and resulted in the death of Jay Anderson.
So, Samina, I'm going to turn to you now. You know, Art just talked about how we got from 2016 to last month, and Milwaukee County Circuit Court Judge Glenn Yamahiro recommended that there was probable cause to criminally charge Mensa. You know, we heard a little bit of that laid out, but this is under John Doe laws that we're now getting this investigation reopened. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. And before I start off, I just want to mention that, you know, we heard from attorney Kimberly Motley at the beginning of the segment that I also want to recognize that there is a family, Jay Anderson Jr.'s family, along with the families of Antonio Gonzalez and Alvin Cole, who have really been at the heart of this whole process, who have been suffering for all of these 6 years. So we can talk technicalities, but we have to remember that all of these processes are being driven by a family that has suffered a great loss and a loss that over time has appeared to be more and more senseless. So we have these John Doe statutes that have been around since 1969. that are part of our Wisconsin Assembly Bill 603, if anyone wants to look it up. There have been other John Doe hearings in the past. And what those hearings allow is if a prosecutor refuses to decline and there is evidence that was not considered in the original decision issued by a prosecutor, a group of litigants may ask for that evidence to be heard by a judge. And that is exactly what happened in this particular case. Art already referenced these hearings started on February 25th of this year. And Attorney Motley, who was representing Jay Anderson Jr.'s family, really did a copious amount of discovery, meaning she grabbed records through Freedom of Information Act laws that allow us to look at police records. And she looked into what exactly transpired in terms of the investigation into Jay Anderson Jr.'s death at the hands of Joseph Mensa. That was never disputed. And as this evidence came out, the interviews, the reports, the internal documentation or the lack of documentation in the Wauwatosa Police Department, the very cursory interviews conducted, unfortunately, by the police department in the city of Milwaukee, it became very clear that there had been a very surface-level investigation. And there were many irregularities in the investigation that really suggested that there hadn't been an adequate look into the circumstances under which Joseph Mensa had killed Jay Anderson Jr.
Can you talk a little bit about what some of those inconsistencies were?
Absolutely. So Art has already mentioned that the city of Milwaukee Police Department had the duty to conduct the investigation from the very beginning. We see that Wauwatosa Police Department made several moves to actually, I would use the word tamper with the crime scene. They allowed Officer Mensa to move his car. There are many questions also about the use of dash cam footage, the existence of the dash cam footage, the use of Officer Mensa's appropriately using or following squad video policy. So there is footage that should exist that doesn't. There is some body cam footage, but there is also an unexamined claim that initially Officer Mensa's body cam didn't work. So there are curious holes in the evidence. There was the movement of a gun, which was said to be in Jay Anderson Jr.'s possession, had been moved by the time the city of Milwaukee Police Department arrived, which is very, very disturbing. And there was no documentation or photography of the crime scene. None of these facts were then reviewed by the DA's office in the city of Milwaukee, which is also very concerning, nor the city of Milwaukee DA or the county, I should say, DA's office review any of the existing policies of the Wauwatosa Police Department, which would have been very relevant in determining the outcome of this case. So for those reasons, Judge Yamahiro very easily saw that there were many matters of fact for him to review in order to determine that there was probable cause.
We're talking to anthropologist Samina Mulla right now and attorney Art Heitzer. They're both members of the Milwaukee National Lawyers Guild, which has been closely following the case of former Wauwatosa police officer Joseph Mensa, who shot and killed Jay Anderson Jr. in 2016 at the time prosecutors declined to file charges there. Now, are there times and occurrences where a police officer is justified to use lethal force, and was that appropriate here?
Well, of course, that can happen. The evidence here is, and the phrase that at least one of the experts used was basically an officer-induced fear or jeopardy. So Officer Mensa, from what we do know, and again, as Professor Mull explained, there's a lot of evidence that was not preserved before the investigative agency, Milwaukee Police, was there. But what we do know is that he violated policy by not parking his vehicle behind the vehicle of Jay Anderson. which put him at a disadvantage, and that he failed to put on the emergency lights to warn Anderson that clearly was a police situation. And that also meant that the camera was not activated, so those records are unavailable. As Professor Mellis said, there was some assertion that one of the recording devices didn't work, but there was no report at the time that didn't work. They checked in the morning. It was never checked later on to see any evidence that it was not functioning. So the credibility of the officer is problematic there. And on top of all this, the officer called for backup. He could have waited for backup, but instead he inserted himself to try to escalate a confrontational situation with someone who evidently was unconscious, falling back asleep, etc. And because Jay Anderson's hands were not continuously held up, but sometimes would be lapsed to his lap, and then Mensa told him to bring him up again, and that happened three or four times, and then on the fourth or fifth occasion, he was executed. So many things could have been done to de-escalate and really avoid this confrontational situation, but instead bullets were fired family within a few minutes.
Now, there were reports, though, that that Anderson did have a gun in his car at the time. Is that something that everyone is keeping in mind during this conversation, certainly as we move from 2016 to now?
Yeah, of course, it's not illegal in Wisconsin to have a gun. There was a gun on the passenger's seat, and as Professor Mellis said, the Tulsa police removed that gun. We don't even know if it was loaded or not because of the tampering with the evidence. But there's no concrete evidence. So the officer's claim that he shot Anderson because Anderson was lunging towards the gun. No claim that he ever touched the gun. And all the scientific evidence at the scene indicates that Anderson remained sitting in his driver's seat, probably unconscious or close to unconscious, and no evidence that he had moved towards the gun. And that's all based on where blood was found, et cetera, and the angles of the bullets that went in.
We are talking about probable cause and the future of police investigations with longtime attorney, Milwaukee attorney Art Heitzer, and anthropologist Samina Mullah. And have you been following the case of former Wauwatosa police officer Joseph Mensa? What do you think about what we have learned from this case so far? What would you like to see happen? Call 800-642-1234. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. A special prosecutor will be appointed before the end of next month in the case of former Wauwatosa police officer Joseph Mensa. We're discussing this case and the ramifications on police investigations over criminal negligence and probable cause on The Morning Show. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. Last month, a Milwaukee judge ruled that there is probable cause to charge Joseph Mensa in the 2016 shooting of Jay Anderson Jr., who was sitting in a parked car in a Wauwatosa park at the time of his killing. And we want to hear from you. What questions do you have about this case? What do you think of the precedent it might set? Call in now, 800-642-1234. Our guests are Milwaukee attorney Art Heitzer and anthropologist Samina Mullah. They're both with the Milwaukee National Lawyers Guild. Now, Samina, I want to ask really quickly, I just mentioned that there is going to be a special prosecutor appointed. Can you tell us what's going to be happening over the next 60 days with this case?
At the end of this period, or sometime in this period, Judge Yamahiro will appoint a special prosecutor. That special prosecutor will then review the evidence, and it will be up to that special prosecutor to decide whether or not to file criminal charges. Now, a probable cause hearing only has to meet a probable cause standard, whereas when we're talking about a criminal case, the special prosecutor will be using a much higher standard, that of reasonable doubt, to decide whether and what charges to issue. And so sometime after that 60 days, I think it will take, there's a copious amount of evidence, as we've noted, to review. It will take a diligent prosecutor many days to issue a decision. And they can choose not to issue a decision.
And what kind of burden of proof will, a prosecutor, if they ultimately decide to charge him criminally, Mensa criminally, what burden of proof will they have to make a conviction?
They will have to be able to prove to a jury beyond a reasonable doubt, right? Which is not no doubt, as someone who sat through many, many jury trials can tell you, but beyond a reasonable doubt that Officer Mensa is responsible for some category of what we call negligent handling of a deadly weapon that led to homicide. And so they will likely be using the standard of what an objectively reasonable officer would do, which is something we heard a lot throughout the hearing. What would an objectively reasonable officer do? And we heard from many experts, including some who were former members of the Milwaukee Police Department, like Sergeant Pamela Holmes, and then many other kind of nationally trained experts, that that every action that we know Joseph Mensa took was very unreasonable.
I want to go to our callers right now. We have Henry in Milwaukee. Hi, Henry.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. What did you want to say?
I wanted to say that I know the stress and the predominant discussions tend to bring up race. But I'm always hoping that race will be secondary. The main event is of the legalities or the illegalities that took place. I'm always hoping that procedures, the process, the performance of the officer is emphasized the most.
Henry, thank you so much for that call. Art, I'll turn to you. What is your reaction there?
Well, I think Henry's comment is really on point. In this case, there were very clear procedures, not only that Officer Mensa should have followed but failed to, but the Wauwatosa police did not follow normal standards. As was mentioned, this is not the only one. This is one of three killings, fatal shootings by Officer Mensa. And there are standards when that happens to make sure the officer is in a reasonable shape to return without putting anyone at risk. And Wauwatosa Police Chief and Department didn't follow that at all. And as I said earlier, Officer Mensa did not park his vehicle behind Jay Anderson's vehicle, didn't turn on the emergency lights, failed to keep an objective record by taping what was going on, and didn't wait for backup, et cetera, et cetera. And what I think is important from the judge's decision at the end, he said what many of us think is kind of obvious, but it's still an unresolved situation in Wisconsin. To rely on a sister a police department, in this case, Milwaukee Police Board and Wauwatosa Police, and to rely on a district attorney in the same area, all of them have to rely on each other for cooperation, whether it's prosecution or backup or somebody crossing from Wauwatosa to Milwaukee or vice versa. To rely on them to be arguably objective in investigating is just not reasonable. And
now,
the judge said, if you want to really have accountability, we have to look at a different structural approach. Go ahead.
Sure. Let's stick with that accountability, because there has been a spotlight on these officer-involved shootings over the last few years. We just saw what happened in Minnesota with George Floyd and the Derek Chauvin case. We now have focus on this Joseph Mensa case. We only have about a minute left. What kind of structural changes or reforms could we see come out of this?
Well, I mean, one thing would be, having like an independent investigator who is not beholden to or reliance on or cooperation with the police department in question. Another is, you know, we talk a lot about qualified immunity, so that officers and their departments can be liable when they violate their own procedures and resulting in terrible injury or in death to a citizen without apparent justification.
Well, Art and Samina, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Samina Mullah is an associate professor at Emory University. Art Heitzer is a Milwaukee attorney. Both are members of the Milwaukee National Lawyers Guild. Up next is news. Then thousands of people were without power this week after storms tore through Wisconsin. We'll talk about storm damage and how people can stay safe when bad weather hits. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.